Are you ready to explore a new way of looking at yourself and your life? To move past transition into transformation? I'm Pamela Hale, and Through a Different Lens Coaching is for people who want to make a difference. We provide powerful, practical tools for accelerated progress. Become the pilot of your own life and spread your wings, soar, and thrive. Visit ThroughADifferentLens.com or call 520-825-5463. Through a Different Lens. See a new path of possibility. 520-825-5463.
Well, we're certainly on a roll today, and I have a hunch that energy Diane and I just shared is going to continue right now with my broadcast partner, Pamela Hale. How are you today, Pam?
I'm well. I'm so happy to be here.
You betcha. We're into flying lessons. Pamela's book, of course, is Flying Lessons, How to Be the Pilot of Your Own Life. And for those of you, just as a recap, that we've already gone through the first four sessions, and those were number one, know where you're going to land. Number two was bring enough fuel for the journey. Lesson number three was take the pilot seat. Number four, remember why you long to fly. And then today's flying lesson is?
Today's is communicate with the controllers.
Oh, dear. You mean I've got to talk to somebody about this? And, of course, Pamela, for those who may not have been listening to other shows, you have written this book as an outcome, as a memoir, as well as instructional and life experiences from your own various journeys.
That's right. And the most sort of vibrant, compelling one was getting my private pilot's license at age 57, which filled me with every fear I could name and many that I couldn't name until I was in that experience.
But it was something you had longed to do since you were a child.
It's true. And the book really came out of the fact that it was much more than just getting my pilot's license. It became a metaphor for life for me. And so out of the hundreds of lessons I learned from my female flight instructor, I chose these seven that I think are lessons for our lives.
That's right. So the controllers, I have this vision of the big jets coming in for a landing in that auspicious tower that's filled with all sorts of electronic gizmotrons.
That's right. And it's a little intimidating to be in the airspace with those big jets going into a big airport in, quote, a controlled airspace, because it's not the same as the little kind of airport where I learned, which didn't have a tower at all. And so it was kind of, for me, like the difference between learning to drive on a country road and then being put on the freeway.
Okay.
So on the freeway, in the airways, one has to communicate with the controllers because they are in charge of really keeping planes separate so that they aren't colliding and keeping everybody safe. That's really their function. They're kind of the police of the air.
Yeah, the police and also the ones that say take a right, take a left, because, oh, by the way, the external conditions are also shifting on all of you at the same time.
All the time.
The weather.
Yes. And so the controller in the metaphor, maybe I can set up the metaphor a little bit. The controller, if you just think about the different controllers there are in our outer lives, think of anyone who's an authority. And maybe they're an authority for several reasons. Like, number one, the controllers in the sky can see more than you can when you're piloting your plane, because they have a screen and they can see everybody on their radar screen. So maybe in a corporation, hopefully the CEO can kind of see on his or her radar screen where everybody is, and you as an individual worker may not be able to see that. If the controller is a physician, they can see things you can't because they have your blood tests or your scans or their expertise for seeing you in a different way than you can be seen. And of course, if you're just in a personal relationship and you're with somebody who has the power to give you negative feedback that means a lot to you,
that's right.
That person sees different things about you than you do about yourself. And then there are the inner controllers, which are the trickiest of all, because these are our inner critic voices, which are very active in most people. And
but let me offer, they're also our inner support system, too, our positive board of directors.
Thank you.
Right?
Of course. That's right.
But I still know that one guy that keeps showing up the board meeting that I want him to get lost. I got it. Yeah.
Right. Well, I wish I only had one.
Well, I was going to say, that's an understatement.
I have a number with different faces. And the trouble with those is they don't always come out of our conscious mind. Mm-hmm. They come from very deep places, unconscious places, and sometimes unresolved places. So for all these, the task of this lesson is to discern what's the truth and what is not the truth, and which part of this message that I'm getting that I don't particularly enjoy getting as a learner, which part of that message do I just need to treasure in a way and say, well, this is part of my learning. Thank you for pointing that out. Now I know I need to make this course correction. You're really being an ally for me. Or which parts are, you know, that's static.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's just fuzz
static,
in the air.
Yeah, static in the cockpit.
Static
on the radio.
In the cockpit, I like. You know, this is a timely session. I mean, just like we talked about Diane's session about completions here at the beginning of the year, this is timely about listening to the controllers because, of course, a lot of people are going through the annual performance review process now.
Oh, interesting.
Right? I mean, this the idea of reflecting back on 2012, also thinking about their objectives for 2013, and their not just the company objectives, but their learning objectives, and being open then to feedback. And for those of you that are controllers out there, never underestimate the power then of not just what you say, but how you say it in the feedback.
Yes, absolutely.
That's really loaded times right now.
Those are great points. And that makes me think back. I just want to set this in the context of having just come out of this very powerful meeting with my group of advanced flying lessons.
Okay.
I have a group that meets in person monthly, and we go over a lesson and take it in more depth and do ceremony and ritual and real in-depth sharing about that lesson. And so we just did the one on the heart. And so for somebody working through the book or working through this process in order or listening to these podcasts in order, mm-hmm. what I want to remind myself and other people is, so we've just opened the heart. We've just been through the one where we've decided we want to live with an open heart. And so this,
remembering why you long to fly.
Yes, remembering why you long to fly is really an exercise in remembering to stay centered in the heart. And so this lesson, communicating with the controllers, is kind of about developing a mature heart.
Hmm.
That is, you know, when we think of ourselves as children, children have open hearts, but they don't have mature hearts yet. So if a child wants a lollipop and doesn't get one, they can be brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see them just bursting into inconsolable sobs because of this disappointment over this lollipop. And hopefully we're at a little more mature place.
I think I've burst into tears over comparable things in my adult world as well. But you're right to this point of context.
Well, and I, in a very pressure-filled learning experience of
flying,
getting my license, regressed to this.
Oh, really?
Because pressure, I think pressure often forces us to regress.
Because you're looking for firmer footing to something you knew from the past.
Exactly.
Even if it was not a pleasant situation, you still knew what it was because
right,
you've been there.
Right. And so instead of remembering that firm foundation might be the heart, where you might have compassion for yourself and say, well, after all, I'm just learning. So mistakes are what this is all about. That's how I'm going to learn. To learn to fly, I had to make a series of mistakes constantly. That was how I learned. And Cleo would push the envelope constantly on me so that I'd make another one. And I found that I didn't like making them. And that my very overactive ego was caught in perfectionistic patterns.
No, really? That's a condition I can't relate to at all. It's like I kind of go through that every other 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so maybe we can think about what happens when this occurs. You know, one thing is that when our hearts open, we kind of are able to remember that at our essence, we're okay just the way we are.
Yeah.
We may not be perfected. We may not have mastery over everything. But the truth is that we're okay just the way we are. Our intentions are good. And we know that we're going to make mistakes. And we know that some of our mistakes have resulted in the greatest learning for us that we've gained in our lives, and so it's okay.
Oh, in fact, an artist will tell you that their mistakes actually led to their greatest paintings.
Yes, that's right.
That's a Picasso, by the way, but I'm sure countless other artists say the same.
That's right. And in a way, the creation of my book was because of the agony I had over all the mistakes that I made in this process.
Okay, you're right.
And so if we know that at root we're okay just the way we are, if we remember that, then if we're in a job situation and we get that performance review and somebody says, there are some areas that you need work on, we can listen to that. We can gather all the information. And then we can muster the courage to say to ourselves, I know that I can be both compassionate and firm with myself. I can be my own flight instructor. That is, I can say, the compassion I have for myself says that I did the best I could, and maybe I'm disappointed that it in some ways wasn't good enough to meet my standards or to meet someone else's. And I can be firm with myself to say, you know what, self, we're not going to do that again. We're going to learn from this, and we're going to make a course correction. That's the firmness that comes of the mature heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the discernment between that which needs to be acted upon and that which is false information. So, for instance, one of the standards in aviation is that the controller seems to have all the power. But Cleo kept reminding me, the controller is probably not even a pilot. So remember that you're the one sitting in the left seat.
Holy smokes, yeah.
And you're the one sitting in the plane who can actually see what's going on. So if you take off and the controller says, make a left turn now, and you look out the window and there's another airplane there, are you going to obey the controller? You're going to say, cannot comply. Because the ultimate standard is that you need to take care of the highest good. That is your safety, other people's safety, and that which is right.
Yeah, and of course we read amazing stories about pilots that have indeed had to step aside from whatever the technology or the other voices in the tower were telling them, and whether they're guiding based on experience or intuition or indeed a visual cue, and thank goodness that they did. So I guess even though our lesson here is called, communicate, that's the key. It's communicate with the controllers, not necessarily 100% nonsensically comply with.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And so when I'm thinking of what that was like for me, a few obstacles that show up in the way is, the aviation land, the controller sort of speaks a foreign language. The controller has to make many decisions in rapid fire, and so everything's in code. So if you've ever listened to the voice of a controller, they speak in code, and they say things. I wish I could imitate it more better, but they'll say things like, say tail number, location, and destination, and altitude. And that sounds familiar enough or recognizable enough, but the way they say it is as if they were competing to be auctioneers.
Mm-hmm.
So it really sounds to the student like,
right.
And I would be looking at Cleo saying,
What did he say?
And she'd tell me what he said, and then I'd say, what do I say? And she'd tell me what I said. So one of the things is that you have to learn the language, and I think that's probably true in business settings where there's a jargon, mm-hmm. a vocabulary that you need to learn in order to to be equal, feel equal, even though we're equal as human beings, to feel equal
in
with that
setting, yeah.
controller. And then maybe another aspect is we're afraid that they may give us information that really could hurt us. So, for instance, somebody could fire us.
Mm-hmm.
A physician could give us a bad diagnosis. This happened to me. It's happened to a lot of listeners. A lover could reject us. There are information that we're afraid could hurt us. And so we give up our power. We forget that even though that person has the power to disappoint us, that really doesn't take our power away. We unplug our power. And we have to remember, as Carolyn Mace, Diane brought her up in the last segment, we have to remember to plug that cord back in and remember that we have power, maybe not to keep going in that same situation, but to decide what needs to be done next. So in order to communicate with the controller, we need to learn that vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
We need to equalize our situation. And then I think with the inner controllers, the other problem that a lot of people have that I had as I was learning to fly is we generalize failure. So we have an expectation. There's an expectation of us and we hold one.
Mm-hmm.
We don't measure up, or someone sees that we don't measure up in some way. We feel we failed, and then we generalize it. And so we either listen to someone else say, or we say to ourselves, well, you always do blah, 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 or you never do blah, blah, blah. And this is generalizing it in a way that is not really fair.
Well, certainly it takes the wind out of your sail to think that you're then going to be learning as opposed to judging.
Yes, yes, that's right.
The genesis of this lesson, then, you mentioned a couple incidents with Cleo. Other interactions with the controller from a Cleo standpoint that brought this lesson kind of crystallized for you?
Well, one was, I think about the first time that I had to go to an airport and do three takeoffs and three landings solo at a controlled airport. So that meant that we flew to Ryan Airport, which is like a satellite airport of Tucson Airport.
Mm-hmm.
So first we had to let Tucson Airport know that we were coming and that we were landing at Ryan. So there are different frequencies you have to land. And you think of this in your own life as I'm telling this.
Sure.
And then we have to switch frequencies and talk to the Ryan Tower, request permission to land, listen to what the directions are, which runway, and so forth. Then when we land, you can't just go wherever you want on the airport. You have to talk to ground control and say, I'd like to taxi to the tower, or I'd like to do a touch and go and go back to the runway, or whatever you'd like to do. And so you have to know who you're going to talk to and switch the frequency and ask permission and watch what you're doing. So I landed okay, and then I turned off at one of the little turnoffs, and I sailed right past this big hold short line, which is big yellow hatch marks on the pavement. You can't miss it, but I did. And so then I remembered to talk to ground control and say, I'd like to taxi to the tower. And he said, you crossed the hold short line. Do you see that behind you?
You're saying, oh, just a minute, I'll back up then, right?
I wanted to say, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned.
But that's right. It's been 20 years since our last confession. Yeah.
So later when I had to own up to this to Cleo, she said, so you made a mistake and you got chewed out for it. It's not the end of the world. And you know what? I bet you'll never do that one again.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of things I learned from that. And one of them was, you really can only communicate on one frequency at a time.
Well, say that again. You can only
communicate on one frequency at a time.
So, folks, the idea of sitting at your computer, tucking on your phone, texting, having five files open, and... So, anyway, continue.
I'm guilty, too, but I mean...
We do it.
But really our strongest, clearest, best communication happens that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we won't be talking on five frequencies in a very short period of time, but we can really only do it efficiently one at a time. And maybe the maturity happens when we learn to do it in a certain order.
In terms of flight control, then ground control.
Yeah,
I see.
Right,
yep.
Right. And so I think one of the takeaways for this is that this is a time on the planet when we're all called to a higher level of functioning.
Hmm.
And things are happening very fast in most people's lives right now, and on the planet they're happening very fast. And so there are a lot of things that we're learning that we don't want to do anymore, ways of being we don't want to be anymore.
Right.
And so this is about the balance between finding your own voice and singing your own song and standing up for yourself and all of that, and being humble enough to say, I made a mistake.
And I might not have it right.
And I might not have it. Yeah.
Or I might not know which song I want to sing.
Right. All of that. And so it's a balance between humility and self-expression. And energetically, this is all centered on the fifth chakra, for those of you who know the energy system. And that's at the throat. And so the throat is where we sing that song. And energetically, it also works as a kind of smokestack where a lot of old energies get kind of clogged. So what this is all about is just like coughing up all that energy and releasing it to the universe so that we have a clear voice.
Like a clear voice, which is what we were speaking about with Diane. Again, here for our listeners who may have just turned in, we're speaking with Pam Hale, and her book is Flying Lessons, How to Be the Pilot of Your Own Life. You can learn more about Pam's work by going to Through a Different Lens. That's LENS.com. So I'm thinking about the chakra, the throat, that... So the fact that it's also coincidentally flu season and people come down with things at this period of time, you're probably saying it's because we're in some ways not being mindful of these other shifts that are around us.
Well, I think there that really is an ingredient. And I think the more... This lesson is really about being connected.
Connected, yeah.
Be connected to ourselves and connected and listening and being connected to others as well at the same time. And I think the more there's evidence, actually scientifically, that your immune system works better if you can be in a relaxed state where actually all of the connections that your body does so naturally are functioning well, that then the immune system will work better.
Which is absolutely why stress is your worst enemy, because
yes.
it prompts disconnections.
Yes, and so when we feel criticized or disappointed, our reaction sometimes, our child heart wants to contract and disappear, and our mature heart wants to, maybe we need to cry, maybe we need to grieve, maybe we need to go through grief over the disappointment or the mistake, and then we want to be resilient mm-hmm. and feel the life force that, by golly, it's still within us in spite of this mistake or this disappointment.
And I think for those who have an opportunity at the previous holidays we just enjoyed from both a spiritual growth standpoint and a personal standpoint, it was a great time to get back in touch with that.
Yes.
You know, let go of some other things, but know you're grabbing onto it. Doesn't mean, though, now is for those of us here now that are trying to stack up the decks and the cards for, you know, launching into 2013 stronger, that we still shouldn't capture that. Wait a minute, am I really communicating with the controllers?
Yes, that's right. Yes, so it's a good, I like to think of not New Year's resolutions because they don't really work that well for most people. I like to think of New Year's inspirations.
Inspirations.
So if we clear the decks of all that hasn't worked, then we leave that space open for what the inspirations are that come from that open heart.
You said earlier, Pamela, that you need to, you both have inner controllers and outer controllers, but you still got to figure out the codes.
Yes.
Right? And so the process of you and as a from the flight metaphor, how did you really learn all those codes that mm-hmm. those, you know, well-intentioned people sitting at the controller were putting out there?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I had to practice. And that's the way, the answer for the inner controllers, too. We really have to, for me, it's spiritual practice that helps us learn the codes. And really, the practice of looking at ourselves and being mindful, we find out what the codes of our inner controllers are. Like, when you're disappointed, what happens for you? Do tears spring to your eyes? Does your heart sink, we say, or my heart mm-hmm. sinks? Or do you tighten up? Do you feel, you know, a tightness in your gut? What are the signals from your conscience or your inner controller
that usually happen before you understand it intellectually?
Yes,
right.
That's
so you're
right.
Trying to catch that emotional
yes.
phase.
So beforehand. What are those codes? And as far as the codes in the outer world, it was a matter of practicing speaking on the radio and just getting rid of the fear that was in the way of me understanding and being able to speak freely.
So imagine, though, you know, it's one thing for you to do all this work through your flying base here in Arizona, but let's say you decide to take a trip to Birmingham, Alabama. So you not only have, perhaps even they're speaking the same codes, but it might be a different dialect and the tones. I mean, this opens up a whole other set of possibilities when you talk about this message you're trying to leave with
us.
It
does. And then, of course, those controllers are all just people. So they may have their own preferences for how they control. And how they speak and what their codes sound like. Some of them really try to speak as fast as they can, and others don't do that. So that this is true out in the world as well.
And I think I would suspect, although there's a lot going on in simultaneity, for you to have the sense of also saying, excuse me, could you slow down, or could you repeat that, please?
In the airplane, it would be, say again.
Say again.
And I was too proud to want to say again.
Again, okay.
Uh-huh. And one last thing, I think, is one way I was trying to learn to speak and decode was to imitate my husband, who was an F-4 pilot in Vietnam and has this low resonant voice and sounds ultra cool on the radio.
Right.
And I tried to be him, and it just failed miserably. And so Cleo kept saying, these are people, just use your own voice. And so I had to realize that I was afraid of my own voice, or I didn't know it in that case, in that new situation. And so it was practice that enabled me, somewhat anyway, to release the notion that I should be like John and embrace the notion that I should be like me.
Well, and I would say for anyone listening, as you probably lay these lessons over whatever you're challenged with in your life, and particularly in the working world, to try to be like someone else who's in your office, your organization, your boss, or even a well-intentioned mentor, coach, role model, or sponsor, until you can do it in your own voice, you're not going to crack.
That's
in the
right.
process.
That's right. A wonderful, I tell the story in my book of a client of mine who was at my retreat, my flying lessons retreat, and it was just such a beautiful ending to the whole thing because she had been really, her inner critic was very audible to all of us to the point where we finally had to confront her. Mm-hmm. And by the end, when she broke through that and saw that, her final little offering to the group was she sang us a song.
Isn't that beautiful?
And that's
her
song.
Her song, and it was her song indeed. Pamela, thank you very much. Again, for our listeners, Flying Lessons, How to Be the Pilot of Your Own Life. You want to visit Through a Different Lens, that's LENS.com, and get connected with Pamela Hale. And if they want to contact you by phone, what number would they use?
520-825-5463. And I'd love to hear from them and give a complimentary 20 to 30 minute phone consultation so
Excellent.
We could see if it's a good fit.
Very good. Thank you, Pam.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays 10 to noon right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.